sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you are listening to Sex and Happiness, a program about sex and happiness. And the purpose of this show is to actually get you sexier and happier in case you haven't figured that out yet. I know that you've listened to a lot of shows, and if you're not getting sexier and happier, I must not be doing my job. So I'm really, my purpose is, that's what I'm going for, and that's what I want for all of you, everybody listening to the show and everybody else. I feel that a sexier, happier world will make a sexier, happier world. So today we're going to be speaking about what is possible for lovers, what's possible for couples, what happens when your souls collaborate and you can actually create things together. You've heard me talk about this subject before, and I've had some guests before talking about the subject of sex magic and what's possible. We've tried to demystify that for you. And today is no exception. I have two guests today who are going to speak to us about what they've created together and the kind of things possible for you, and then workshops and ways that you can get more involved with them or find out more information for yourselves. My guests are Dr. Janelle Alex, who's a PhD, and she's a soul collaboration guide and a sacred and sensual teacher. And Rob Alex, who is a master's in science. He is a sacred sensual teacher, and they are both together passionate about empowering couples like you by teaching couples how to combine the sacred and the sensual. They create sexy challenges, sacred and sensual experiences for lovers, and intimate adventures, sacred ceremonies for couples. So hopefully this isn't a foreign subject to those of you who are listening out there, but we're going to take this from a different angle. So welcome to the show, Janelle and Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, and I want to jump right in to you. You have some terms in my introduction to you, like soul collaboration guide. What exactly is that?
A big thing that I want people to do is reconnect with their individual soul, as well as being able then to connect with their partner's soul. So when you connect with your own soul, that core essence of yourself, the truest part of you, then once you do that, you can learn to kind of collaborate with that knowledge, that inner knowledge that comes through your own intuition, if you will.
Okay.
So that's one of the pieces that I like to help people do.
I think that's really smart, because their inner guidance, I call it inner guidance, but I know exactly what you mean there, and hopefully others do too, that when we're following inner guidance, we can't go wrong, actually. It's there to guide us, but mostly there's so much noise in the head that people can't really hear what's really coming through.
Absolutely, right.
Soul collaboration guide, I like that. And then the two of you, your passion is about empowering couples, and you teach them how to combine the sacred and the sensual, and then these challenges that you talk about. So I'm not really sure what to talk about first. I think that let's talk about combining the sacred and the sensual and how you might go about that, how you discovered it in yourselves, and then how you started bringing it to other people.
Well, we've been married about 10 and a half years. But we've married just right at 8 years. I was in graduate school for transpersonal psychology, which had nothing to do with sex. But I came across an article in one of my early courses that was on transcendental sex. And I passed that article off to Rob because I felt like he would be very interested in it. And, you know, because it was about people having visions during lovemaking, or, and that's just one thing. There's all kinds of things that can happen that are beyond our normal human experience. And so he read that, became very interested in it.
Yeah, and it was a fascinating article. Like she said, it talked about people having visions or living a past life or something at the moment of orgasm. And it got me wondering, am I missing something in our sex life? I'm like, okay, the physical feels great, but is there something more? And so I set about the intention to gain that attention during our intimacy. And lo and behold, the first time I tried, I got a vision. And it was nothing spectacular. It was just like a wooded scene, like I was laying on the floor of a forest looking up through the trees. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but, you know, it's not the fireworks or the, you know, special effects that I thought it would be. And so, you know, I just kind of put it in the bank, put it on the shelf, and said, that was nice. We'll try that again sometime. Janelle had to go to California for a seminar at her school. And I was going to join her out there, and we'd had plans to go do something. I was going to take her to do something that she'd wanted to do for a long time. And when I got out there, she said, no, we're not going to do that. She said, I need to take you to the state park.
Well, it was an inner knowing, because I've had that intuition and that connection with my soul for, well, forever. And I just knew. I was like, wait, no, we can't go do that. We have to go to the Redwood State. Yeah, I can't say it. The Redwood trees. I had to take him to see that and to the state forest.
So we went there, and we were there 5 minutes maybe, and we step out into these trees, and I look up, and I realize I'm witnessing the same vision I saw previously after that moment of orgasm.
I love it.
Yeah.
And it was the most emotional point in my life. You know, obviously my children being born and things like that are very emotional too, but this one just, it took me over, and I started crying. I mean, tears were just flying out of my eyes. Not that I was sad, but it's just the emotions were just flooding out of me. And from that moment on, and paying attention again, I've had a vision every time after Janelle and I are intimate.
Yeah, so that's been 2.5 years. And then, I mean, countless times he has then encountered those in what I call waking reality, you know, daily life.
Mm-hmm.
They're really off-the-wall kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. I consider that a spiritual awakening for him, because he was the skeptical kind of person prior to that. Whereas, you know, like I said, I was very intuitive and prophetic dreams and so forth, and connection to spirit guides and knowing their names and conversing with them and so forth. And Rob's like, yeah, whatever, honey, that's great.
It's like, if I can't hold it in my hand, it's not real, you know.
Yeah. But,
well, I want to ask Rob, I want to go back to something that you said, which is, now you have these visions every time you have an intimacy together. And I don't want to assume that anyone listening to this show knows what you're talking about.
Right, yes. Yeah.
You know, they might and they might not. So when you say you have visions each time you're intimate, like, what do you see?
Okay, well, it's always various. It hasn't been at this point the same thing. And it's just, sometimes they come in a form of a picture, like my brain's like snapped a photo. That's what it seems like sometimes. At that moment of orgasm, it's like the light bulb went off on the flash, and there's that picture I see for a brief second in my mind, and then it just kind of vanishes. Other times it comes to me, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like the image is black and the background is black, and so you can kind of see the outline of it. It's kind of like coming through the other black. It's really hard to explain, but it's like that black on black, but it starts to press forward enough so I can see the outline and make out the description of what it is.
Now, there was one occasion that he did have kind of like a video image or a sense of being, and so it was like, and it was kind of like living a past life. So we considered that, you know, we do think it probably was a past life experience for him, found validation on that. And, you know, we validated many of these things, but it's, you know, it's not going to be, and because we just had an interview or another meeting this morning, and that question was posed to us, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same for somebody else. Everybody's, and sometimes I'll get a vision, but typically mine isn't related to or love making, the way that my stuff comes through. But,
okay,
you know, it's just not like his is just different from mine. And so we wouldn't expect everybody else to necessarily have the same exact kind of experience.
Right.
But that gets to my next question, which is it possible for anyone to have these and everyone to have these?
I believe that we all have access, and this is one method or one way that you can pierce the veil, if you will, into the spiritual dimension. But again, it doesn't mean that it's going to come through as a vision or that sense of the void, or it might just be that within the next day or so that you are so much more creative than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are able to solve problems with a whole different thought process, then it was just easier to solve something, come up with this amazing new solution that maybe you wouldn't have normally.
Yes.
Just tapping into that creative energy, that creative source.
Right. And
well, that's the piece. I mean, I want to affirm for people that the experience that you're having may in fact be unique to you. And yet, if a person opens themselves to sensuality and sexuality in a sacred way, mm-hmm. and I mean, we talk about this a lot on this show, the way being the path in being tantra often, a way of practicing sacred sensuality and sexuality, that in fact it is possible to change the entire dimension in which a person lives.
Absolutely.
Right. Correct?
Yes. And when it changes, because this transformed our relationship just
yes,
in the last
definitely.
Couple of years, but it deepened our emotional connection, our physical connection, and our spiritual connection. Because even though I say my stuff comes in a different way, my abilities, if you will, I don't really like that word, but have become more powerful since this has come to us, since we've begun practicing it. You know, really our lovemaking has become a spiritual practice.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. That's a perfect place for us to take a break, because that's kind of like putting a keystone in the foundation of a building. That's your lovemaking has become a spiritual practice. That's like your bodies become temples.
Yeah. Definitely.
Where you choose to worship, and that's giving people a whole different way to look at themselves, mm-hmm. a different way to look at the physicality of sexuality, and just so different from everything that we're taught and fed by Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's beautiful to say. Thank you so much for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a break right here. This is Laurie Handlers. You are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm speaking with Janelle and Rob Alex. They're a couple. They do workshops and they design sexy challenges for couples and intimate adventures, which we're going to find out about in the next segment when we come back. They are interesting and exciting to me in the way that they've come together and they've seen visions, etc., through their lovemaking. Even though Janelle was seeing them for a long time, things have increased for them. And the bottom line here is that this can happen for you. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk about the things they've created. And by the way, this part of the show, this half of the show, is brought to you by Zestra, and you'll hear more about that in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm speaking to a couple, an interesting couple, an unusual couple, Janelle Alex and Rob Alex, who are soul collaboration guides. They are sacred and sensual teachers, and they're passionate about empowering couples. They teach couples how to combine the sacred and the sensual. And the last thing they said on the last segment had to do with making their intimacy into a spiritual practice. And I just love that, and that's why I'm saying it again. So I want to talk to you about these intimate and sensual experiences and adventures that you create for lovers. What are they like? How long do they last for? Do you see people individually, or are these like workshop type spaces?
Well, these come out and they're e-books. We have them on iTunes for your Kindle and through Barnes & Noble. There's also mm-hmm. a print version out through Amazon. And they're just little segments that lead a couple through an experience that'll heighten their sexual intimacy. Some of them are very physical, while the others start out very spiritual and then go into the intimacy. So there's a little bit of everything. This may sound a little silly, but I like to combine the, you know, our intimacy, our laughter, our fun all together, because I think those things are so important in our relationships that a lot of people just look at sex as physical and we get the job done and we're finished.
Well, in Sexy Challenges, Rob actually began writing them, 2009.
Yeah.
And then, of course, his awakening happened in 2010. So they evolved. And the first 50 are in a compilation that's available in the print version as well as on the digital versions. But I think there's over 70 of them actually out now. And they're available individually as well. And so they really give you kind of some specific guidelines. The Sexy Challenges do, you know, some background on that particular challenge, maybe some history around the concept. And then, you know, kind of where to do it, what are you going to need, where to do it, how to complete it. But they're guidelines, because we're really, really important. Mm-hmm. It is really important to us to give those guidelines, but then, if you know, leave it open for individual couples to adjust it to fit their relationship and their comfort zone as well.
Right. Correct.
And it doesn't have to, therefore, just be heterosexual couples. For that matter, they don't have to only be used in monogamous relationships.
Great.
Just those two things are what we know best. But
yeah, sure. But I'm glad you said that, because I would have asked you that. So you anticipated my next question. What I want to know, though, is an example or two of what one of these challenges might actually be like or look like, or you know, like a real example from a challenge.
Well, Rob's favorite.
Yeah, my favorite is called Become the Warrior. And it takes some of the practice that I found the Native Americans used to do, use their lovemaking to protect their braves before they went into battle. They would have an intense lovemaking session before a big battle, and that way they felt that the warrior would be protected more because of that energy that would surround him from that lovemaking. And so I have incorporated that into modern day, you know, because say you have a big presentation tomorrow, or you just need a boost tomorrow for something, and we can take that same practice, that ancient practice the Native Americans use, and bring it to today. And this challenge, you know, it invites you to bring in some war paint and put on some war paint, get some tribal music, some very nice drumbeat music to play in the background, some candles to create the lighting that would have been in the teepee at that time, and then just totally feel like you're that brave getting out to go into war. And also for the other partner or partners to embrace that as like, you know, I want to make sure you're protected in this manner.
You know, you can really feel like you're transported to a different place, a different lifetime, if you will. So that was really cool. I mean, obviously there's more in depth if you were to read that, of course.
Just have to say something about that one. I had this feeling that you were going to go into another one, which I perfectly want if you are. And yet I still had this comment to make about this one, which is I find it really interesting. Actually find it amazing that this would be the challenge that is your favorite, based on the practice that coaches, like coaches of football and coaches of basketball and, you know, coaches basically tell their players not to have sex.
Right.
Not to connect with their beloved, let's say. I don't know whether a high school kid would would consider his girlfriend the beloved, but I certainly would.
Right.
And not to go near the beloved.
Yep.
Right before a big game. Right before the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And yet, what you're saying is exactly the opposite and makes so much more sense. Like, it just went clunk in my body when I was listening to you say it, and I was thinking, oh, yes, I got chills. So, thank you.
Frustration when you do hear that, or when I encounter that somewhere again, and I'm like, really? Come on. I'm like, in my opinion, the coaches are really missing the boat. Because, boy, would their players play a hell of a lot better.
Well, you know,
I mean, not always, obviously, but it can. I mean, we've had clients even that were like, oh, my gosh, I had the best golf game ever.
Yeah, we did have one. Like,
yeah, just the other day. Yeah, just like the next day or a couple days later.
I agree. I've had that, too. I've actually had clients who said to me, my golf game got better, and I promised them in advance that their golf game would get better because I knew something about that.
Yeah.
So I agree. That just gave me the chills, like thinking of the warrior going. And, you know, part of it might have to do with just ejaculation choice, which is possible to go into lovemaking and choose not to ejaculate before going off to war, but containing the energy in the sexual seed, that's one particular option of it, but still the connection of which you speak is vital.
Yeah.
And I can feel it in my own body as you spoke about it. So that's why I had to just stop you there. I think, Janelle, you were going to go into another one. I don't know if you were or not, but I'm kind of twisting your arm.
Well, there's so many. I don't know, like, what's another one that pops into your head? Oh, geez.
Another one that is the abacus of love is another one where we take the ancient Chinese counting tool, Japanese counting tool. I'm not sure which one it is. But
okay, you don't want to offend anyone. Go ahead.
But
you use that to keep track of your lovemaking, and you make these special beads to put on it and to move them around so that you can visually see where your lovemaking is taking you.
And it's a matter of honoring it, not, oh, well, we only did it five times.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It can be a very beautiful way to honor it. And I believe there's even a suggestion of maybe getting some sort of a special way to mark that, like if you made love in a different place, you know, or maybe you were on vacation or something unique or a certain time, you know, like an anniversary or something, that you could get a special one. And it's just a way you can actually then turn it into a piece of artwork if you would so choose.
Right.
And, you know, heck, you could hang it in your living room and no one would know.
Right.
There's the painting ones that are popping into my head now, but there's just so many.
That's so great.
And the intimate adventures are similar, but much, much more ceremonial, I suppose. Not all of them are, but definitely the intimate adventures are more so ceremonial than the majority of the sexy challenges. So they're similar but different. I have a tendency to write more of the intimate adventures, so they come out different. You know, it's just because we just look at things a little bit differently.
Right.
And then the sexy adventures, if you could tell briefly about that.
Well, yeah, the intimate adventures are...
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I know, because they're not that different. You know, but like there's one on iTunes available, because we have a couple of the sexy challenges that are on iTunes that are free as well. But then there's a free intimate adventure on iTunes, and it is the sacred healing. And with that one, you wouldn't even have to move into physical intimacy if you chose not to, or it could lead into, you know, a beautiful lovemaking session.
Right.
And it's really just about honoring one another and kind of like using that love energy and even the sexual energy to emotionally heal or physically direct that energy to, which that kind of gets into the sex magic in a bit, but, you know, to actually heal you. Now, I don't want to confuse people because I'm not suggesting that these can be used to flat out heal sexual wounds, emotional wounds, or other, you know, physical wounds that you may have.
Listen, wait a second. I have no qualms about saying that. So I just want to let you know, you can say it or not say it, but I have no qualms about saying that I actually did a show with a woman who had rheumatoid arthritis, and she listened to Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing song.
Yeah.
And then called a lover who was an ex-lover of hers and said, I need you to come over and make love to me for an hour every single day. And her pain threshold went from 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have no qualms about saying that it will heal you physically, at least.
I mean, I guess maybe I didn't clarify some of that. Like for me, when I was 23, I experienced a sexual assault. And so you have wounds around that.
Sure.
This may not necessarily, without the help of a sexologist or a therapist, might not, it's just not a tool to straight up heal that. It can be a part of it. Because
right.
you deepen that relationship with your partner, deepen the trust in the relationship, open you so that you can open to vulnerability better.
Yes.
So it can be a tool. I just want to use that little disclaimer, I guess, like, hey, this isn't just going to fix it. Because, there's
right.
work sometimes that needs to be done. But it's a beautiful right. piece to add mm-hmm. to your relationship.
Thanks for being so responsible about that. I really appreciate you. For saying all that. That's great. Well, I'm enamored of what you're saying. I'm so excited. And why I'm personally so excited, which, I have an ulterior motive, which I didn't know I had, is that I, as a sex educator, often find myself having to teach someone that I'm with how to do this and what to do and da da da. And it's like, it's not fun for me.
Yeah.
I mean, while teaching is completely fun for me, being a sex educator, when it comes to my personal intimacy, is not always so fun. And so now I know that I can go online and I can find your adventures mm-hmm. and your experiences and ceremonies, and I can pop them on and I can just be a receiver.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm so excited about you. I cannot tell you.
Yeah,
that's very exciting for me. So let's tell people, so that everybody else can be as excited as I am. Let's tell people how to get these things, how to get in touch with you, where what to look for on iTunes, or if you have a specific website that enumerates and lays all of this out for people.
The easiest way is just to go to sexychallenges.com. Because within that, there's links to iTunes via the store button or whatever on the navigation bar. But, it sends you to iTunes and Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But if you just go to iTunes, you can, just search for Sexy Challenges or you could search Intimate Adventures. Any of those, obviously, you're going to find those at iTunes. But like I said, sexychallenges.com is the quickest and easiest.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you both for being my guest today. You're exciting and fresh.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, we've had
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much. If you just tuned in, you missed a whole thing, so you've got to go back and listen to Janelle and Rob Alex, who are soul collaboration guides, sacred and sensual teachers, and they're coming at it from a different angle, a unique angle, a creative angle, which pretty much all got channeled to them through their own intuition. And it's fresh. It's really, really fresh. I'm excited about it. And I encourage you all to go to sexychallenges.com and find out what you can find out there. It's a quick and easy and intimate way to make your sex life from strictly physical into a spiritual experience, which is what Janelle talked about in the first segment. Please stay tuned. When I come back, I'll be with a woman who writes erotic stories and novels, and she'll be talking to us about how she generates them, what's behind her mind when she's writing, and how you could get stimulated to write or how you could find out more about the things she's writing. So we'll be right back with Sex and Happiness. Stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Lori Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm so glad you stayed tuned. I'm Lori Handlers, resuming the show, and as I promised in the first half, and even in last week's show, I was going to have somebody on who writes erotic stories, romance stories, and short stories. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to her. Her name is Victoria Cannon, and I don't know how long she's been writing for. We'll find that out in a moment. But she says that the men and women that surround her, that's in her real life, inspire the spicy passion portrayed in her tales. And I'll say her website now, and then we'll say it again a little bit later in the show. Her website is victoriacannon.webs.com. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's so exciting to be here.
It really is my pleasure to have somebody on who writes erotic stories. I want to talk about that a little bit before we go into some of the specifics about your stories. Could you tell us a definition of what you consider to be erotic?
Erotic stories are basically, well, my definition, it's a story that explores the relationship between two, maybe sometimes three people. And even though you could take the sex out of it and still have a good, strong story, the sex is there to add the depth to the relationship, to show the passion, to show that feeling.
So you would distinguish that, though, from, I guess when I say, could you define erotic, some people think erotic and porn are the same. And I've made an effort on the show to give a distinction of that. So based on what you said, I could take that to mean that you're showing depth. And often when people are looking at porn or reading things that are considered pornographic or looking at pictures, that may not have depth. It may be shallow, but something that's a turn-on, and it sounds like your stories are just filled with deeper connection, and I'm hoping I'm correct about that.
Exactly. That's the difference. The erotic stories, there's relationships, and there is a connection between people, and the sex is used to show those feelings, those emotions.
Okay, good. And how long have you been writing?
All my life I've been a writer. The erotic stories I've maybe written the past 2 or 3 years.
That's great. And did somebody inspire you? I mean, for example, I know that Anne Rice, the famous, I know you're from New Orleans, and I know Anne Rice is from New Orleans. She just pops into my mind, though. She's a popular novel writer about vampires and kind of spooky things, but they're all kind of sexy in her books. But those books are really for the general public. And then I know that Anne Rice has a pen name, and she writes erotic stories that have a little bit more, like, BDSM in them and are a little more explicit under a different name, and she's been doing that for years. So were you inspired by someone like her or someone else, or just came to your own mind to do it?
With the erotic stories, I kind of got my inspiration really from the people in my own life and the experiences I've had. I didn't want to read too much about what other authors said, because I wanted it to be my own words, my own experiences, and I didn't want it to be, I don't know if tainted's the right word, but I wanted it to be something different from everybody else.
I understand. That's kind of, it's original. I mean, I admire you for that. I find it inspiring. I know there are some musicians who don't listen to other people's work because they only want their work to be original, and they don't want to even think for a moment that they've copied an idea or anything. So I understand that, and it's quite inspiring to hear. So, but that presupposes then that you have quite a deep and erotic and hot life.
Yes, I do. And I've been with the same man for, 12 years now. We have twin daughters.
Wow.
Yeah, there's something going on to keep us together, that's for sure.
That's wonderful. Well, I went to your website, which we mentioned before, victoriacannon.webs.com, and I'll spell that for people. Victoria, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N.webs, W-E-B-S.com. And I saw some things about your stories, although I haven't read any of your stories myself. I saw that your characters are not limited to what I would call traditional. They're not limited in their sexual choices. Like, they aren't necessarily having vanilla sex, or they might be in love with more than one person or very attracted to more than one person. And they might be experimenting with same-sex relating and threesome same-sex or two-on-one, whatever. So it seems like they're not at all limited in their choices. And I don't need you to tell me the actual people in your life, but it seems like that must be, if you take the characters from real life, then you are surrounded by people who are not limited in their sexual choices. Could you say something about that?
That's very true. In all the stories, there are different types of relationships. And a lot of these relationships probably came out of relationships I had in college. But one of the stories, so good, it's about a woman who, she has her boyfriend that she's in love with, but she also has this girlfriend that she's in love with. And it really looks at the differences and the blessings of the two relationships and how she can't decide between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Child of the Fallen Angels, and that actually, it looks at another female and male relationship, but it also, what's interesting about that story is it kind of explores the relationship of magic and relationships with a greater power as well.
Okay, so it seems like that you're willing to explore any realm with this.
Exactly. There's none of the stories are limited to one type of relationship or one type of conflict. It kind of moves in all different directions.
And would you say that your characters are experienced in open relating? Like they're not necessarily in monogamous relationships. They're exploring beyond what is thought of as monogamy?
In some cases, some of the stories do have that aspect to it.
Okay. And are any of the stories about polyamory per se?
I guess it's hard to say because they're all different.
They're all different, okay.
And at the end, it kind of gives the reader the option to make their own conclusions about where it's going to go from there.
Oh, great. So, yeah, so there's places. See, to me, that's erotic. When people who are viewing a film or who are reading a book can fill in how things go for themselves.
Right.
There's some imagination in it for the participant who's partaking of your art form. To me, that makes it really erotic when I'm able to fill in how I would want it to end or how I would want it to go, as opposed to being shown or told everything by the person who's the artist. So I kind of like that. That would be my preference. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that about yours. Now, so people can, how are your books published in hardcover or paperback, or are they mostly e-books?
They're mostly e-books. I just really believe that that's where our future's headed. I embrace the technology. I think, you know, with Christmas just passing and Kindles being a popular present, I thought e-books would be the perfect format because it's something you can take anywhere with you. They make great stories when you're laying out on the beach or you've got that lazy weekend. So it makes it portable and very accessible. You can download it now and get your copy, you know.
And people could do that by going to victoriacannon.webs.com.
That's the website I made to kind of pull them all together.
Yeah.
The stories are through two different publishers. Dark Roast Press is one of them, and Club Lighthouse is another one. And you can get them through the I call them outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Smashwords. So I figured it was easier just to direct everybody to this site, and then the links are right there for you to go to, rather than mm-hmm. to try to explain where each one is, because they are kind of scattered.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about some real-life situations that are related to your stories and some stories that are related to real-life situations, what really people can learn, like how they can learn, how they can grow both in their happiness and their sexuality from taking a chance and reading your books. So we'll be right back.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends. And I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. And again, I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Victoria Cannon, who is an erotic author of several romance stories and short stories. And she bases her writings on men and women that are in her actual life. And she takes her characters deep and they're passionate, and she has erotic content in her stories. So, Victoria, when we left off, we found out how to get the books, and we found out that you've had experiences in your life. You had some experiences in college and different times where you experimented, and a lot of your stories are based on things that you actually lived. Now, as far as we go, if we were to say that real life situations inspire stories, or that stories inspire real life situations, how could the readers be inspired? For example, if we took your story so good, how could readers be inspired to open their lives a little bit, or open to more happiness or the depth of sexual connection by experiencing reading your story?
Well, I know one of the questions I had in college, and questions, you know, a lot of women I know have had, you know, they're bi curious. They want to know what it's like to be with another woman. And a lot of these stories, Child of the Fallen Angels and So Good, look at that kind of relationship and really break it down on what the difference are that makes it so appealing, that makes it so attractive. And they're very descriptive about being with another woman and what it feels like to kiss another woman and touch another woman versus being with a man.
So it sounds like a reader, a female reader who's leans to the straight side, could read your stories and either imagine what it would be like to be with another woman based on things you've written, and have that fantasy not necessarily played out, but written about by reading your books, and could make some new choices for herself, perhaps go explore a relationship with a woman or not based on what you've read. I mean, is there an element of safety that you're providing? Is there an encouragement? Yeah, I just really want to know, do you think it would encourage somebody to be less afraid?
Definitely. I think relationships, male or female, to me, is really irrelevant. I think it's about the person and the connection you feel with somebody, regardless of, you know, male or female.
So does that come out in your writings? Does it come out? Does your belief, I mean, that's a strong statement, and it's also, again, very inspiring. Would someone glean that from your writings, that your belief is that it doesn't matter what the gender is of your partner as long as you have a really strong and deep connection?
Definitely. That's the definite point of each story. As different as all the aspects are, whether it's male or female, whether it's female-female, whether it's a male, a female, and another female, or we have another story coming out that's interracial, it's all about that connection with that person.
These days, people really are experimenting more than ever. You know, there's whole movements of people who are into polyamory. There are people into open relating. Certainly, people dating of different races, whereas in one time it was called things. There were names for that, and it was a very not commonly seen thing. I mean, that's pretty much in the mainstream now. So for somebody who maybe hasn't chosen to experiment there, then perhaps your books could be encouraging to people who want to find out, and safe for others who just want to read about it.
Right. It definitely, you know, would be something that's eye-opening, or even just to look at a different experience. You know, maybe you've had relationships similar to these, but this is another angle, another way to look at it. How does somebody approach this type of relationship? How does somebody even get involved in a relationship that may be, quote, non-traditional or whatnot? But it's definitely gives readers something to think about and explore further from a different perspective.
And then I have another question for you, which has to do with people who have pretty much vanilla sex.
Okay.
Like they don't they don't vary a lot, or they don't experiment with a lot of things. Like maybe they just do sex the same way, the same way, the same way, and probably the same way that their parents did it, and that same way, and that same way for their whole lives. And then there's people who go outside of vanilla. Are your books encouraging to that as well, to people to experiment with their sexuality, or is it pretty much based on the heat of a partner rather than the difference of practices?
I try to vary up the scenes so that there are differences, but a lot of it is just basically the different ways to kiss, the different ways to touch. You know, there are different things you can do to make your lover feel good. So I definitely try to spice it up so that each book, each story, or even one story, the different scenes are different, to give readers a better picture of the relationship and a better picture of how you can explore with somebody else.
So it sounds very sensual.
Right.
Yeah, sounds very, very sensual and mostly focused on relationship.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay,
good. That's the key to my happiness, is having that connection, that strong connection, you know, with people that no matter what, it doesn't break.
Yeah, so how would you suggest that? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, you know, what would be a takeaway? Like if you were describing your own relationship, and I imagine you have in books, what would be the takeaway? What keeps the strength of the relationship? Is it speaking honestly? Is it touching differently? How would you say a person or people could keep that non-breakage, what you just said, I like that. How could you keep that non-breakage flowing? What would be some of the keys?
Considering others, making them feel good, and being there for them.
I mean, like as a listener or as a defense? I mean, I guess I'm asking for a little bit more depth on that.
Every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to not go, I mean, it may sound cliche, but you don't want to go day to day taking your significant other for granted. They should be kissed every day. They should be touched every day. They should be hugged every day. You know, it doesn't have to be all the way sex, although I think the more the better, but you want to definitely, when I say be there, take that person in every day somehow, some way.
Great. Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. You know, like what is the message, the bottom line message? And that's very clear, to not take somebody for granted and actually be responsive and receptive and open to them. And I love the idea of kissing and hugging every day. There's so many people who don't do that.
Right. And
they wonder what happens.
Yeah, I kiss on my significant other every day. My kids are hugged and kissed on before they go to school every day. You know, everybody in my life is loved.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent. So that's kind of what comes across in your stories as well, that people are valuable.
Definitely.
And that they need to be paid attention to, no matter what.
Right. Every person is valuable.
Yeah, it's great.
Every relationship is valuable.
Okay. Well, I think that's great. I'm thrilled, and I do look forward to reading one of your stories or a couple of your stories, and also finding out some other information from you about your publishing, et cetera, et cetera. I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show today, and I want to let people know again how they could find your stories. And that would be by going to victoriacannon.webs.com. Victoria, is there anything you want to tell us, let's say in the last minute or two, that, you know, any tip or any takeaway that you want the listeners to take from, or, you know, maybe you even want to say where you would recommend they start? Like which story, if they wanted to read one of your stories, should they start with?
Well, Tania is the short one, but it really depends on the reader's interest, because Child of the Fallen Angels has that magical aspect, and So Good really explores a relationship between three people.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So that gives people an idea of, like, if you're interested in something that's a relationship of three people, then you would try the So Good. That sounds so good to me, actually.
And it is. We always joke, you know, you got to be 18 to buy the stories, but for so good, you may need to be 30.
All right, that's great. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was my pleasure to speak with you. And everybody out there, please tune in next week when I will bring you another amazing guest who will help you expand and explore your sex and happiness. This is Laurie Handler signing off.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-